Welcome back to the Profit Your Knowledge podcast. Today's guest is Kat Paulsonelli. She is a resilient entrepreneur, coach, speaker, and a podcaster. She's also the founder of the Lotus Effect, where she empowers individuals to rise above challenges and unlock their potential through the powerful mindset and customized strategies and operations. Her whole mission is to guide others on their Lotus journey, which we'll unpack. To transform, you know, muddy waters into beautiful, fulfilled lives. And today she's going to share with us her experience in entrepreneurship and lessons learned and what's worked for her and what hasn't. So hopefully you can get some good ideas to start and grow your own online business. How are you doing today, Kat?
I am fantastic. I am so excited to be here, James. Like, this is awesome. So
yeah, I'm pumped to have you here. I want to hear, you know, your story a bit. We covered a little bit before, but I'm like, I want to wait for the interview. So, I love keeping it raw and authentic. It's more fun. So Kat, tell me, what made you decide to become an entrepreneur rather than just working, you know, a desk job or a normal job where you clock in, clock out, simple life, right? It'd be so simple just to keep that, right? I don't know why my brain's like, you can't do that. You have to be an entrepreneur. But what made you decide to officially take the leap and get started? And then how did you kind of get to where you are today and doing what you're doing today?
Yeah, sure. So I'll try to give you a brief overview because there's a big backstory behind the whole journey. But what I will say is my background is actually in medical administration. That's what I got into. That's what my degree is in. That's what I thought I was going to do for the rest of my life. When I got out of a 10-year abusive relationship with my two young kids, I was working in a medical office. I was a single parent. I was working 40, 50 hours a week plus. And when my children got sick, they stayed in the office on the other side because I didn't have the ability to take off. I was the only person that knew my job. I ran all kinds of aspects inside of this company that I worked with at the time. And I started to think of, you know, how can I build something that would allow me to have more time with my kids, who at that time were 10 and 7, and what direction would I want to go that would give me the ability to work on my own time, work on my own schedule, and still be able to help people, which was the whole reason that I got into the medical field, was to help people, but not be pushed in a direction to only help people the way that the doctor wanted to do it, to only help them the way that they saw fit. And so I had a brilliant plan that I was going to transition into the world of real estate. And what actually ended up happening was I started going into my own healing journey, and I started learning about people pleasing and perfectionism and not having boundaries. And so I started kind of applying those into my regular job. I started saying no. I started saying I can't do this. And I started not listening to everybody's stuff and being that yes person that I always was. That actually ended up causing an issue with the doctor that I worked with. And I ultimately was fired due to a moral disagreement on how he was running some things in his business. So I was chucked into, you don't have a job, what are you going to do now? And so I just decided, screw it. I'll make the leap into real estate. I can help everybody. But what ended up actually happening was this beautiful blossoming opportunity where, yes, I did help people in real estate, and I left myself open to anything and everything that could possibly come my way so that I could figure out what it is I really enjoy doing. And through that, I got a position with the brokerage that I worked with. I actually started taking over their training and their layouts and their onboarding and doing all of these follow-ups and stuff with other agents that wanted to have their own business. And I found out that, oh my gosh, I love helping other people build. This is amazing. And so it was this beautiful transition of just leaving myself open to, okay, I like this. I don't like this so much. Let's see if I can get more of this. Okay, this opportunity came along. I like this. I don't like that. And so it was just this beautiful transition that ended up actually turning into me creating my own business and walking into this space of coaching through the journey of real estate and really realizing where my passion and my heart lied with everyone that I was helping around me.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I love the idea of just being open to new possibilities, because I've gone through this myself in entrepreneurship, you know, whether it's changing a strategy or maybe changing your niche or picking a niche just to get started with, it's so important to listen to your intuition and trust your gut. And I think, you know, I despise when people say, don't trust your gut, because maybe they didn't actually know how to listen to that intuition properly, and then it backfired. Mm-hmm. But every time I've really listened and paid attention to my intuition, it's always supported me. So it's a great skill to develop, is that awareness piece, because you know what you need to do. And I think people make things way too complicated. You know, with like weight loss, for example, it's like, okay, I need to lose weight. Okay, you look at your diet. Well, I'm eating McDonald's every day with a milkshake, you know, and I just lay in bed and I don't really do anything. Okay, well, maybe like eating better foods, eating less, you know, bad food, you could still have a little bit, and just moving more. Like, it's really simple. Like, we know that we need to do these things, or that it's the right thing to do, but it's just doing it can be scary, you know? And like changing niches, I know, is big. And even people who've been in entrepreneurship for years, but they're built something, and now they're like, it doesn't really make me happy anymore. So it's time to transition. So I love that you mentioned that about the importance of just kind of being open to, you know, other opportunities. I have like coach friends too, who've been in business way longer than me, and they've made transitions. Even either they've been in business for like over 10 years, you know, or multiple decades. They're like, I'm doing a transition just because it excites me. It makes me happy now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to leave that wiggle room out.
Yeah, definitely. And that was a really big hurdle that I had to learn to get over. And I still find myself doing it as my business grows and as it transitions, because you as a person grow and you transition, right? And you may have certain things that are happening in your life at one time that cause you to want to do this. And then you may get into a different season in your life that allows you the space to see something else that you never thought that you would try that really lights you up. And that was kind of the journey that I took when I first got into real estate, and just allowing the opportunities to come and then kind of pick from there, versus feeling like, oh, I've got to do this because like this is what's going to bring the money, or I've got to do this because this seems more stable. So I agree with you. A lot of people, we do already kind of know the direction that we want to go or what we want to do, but it is scary to step out into that because we don't have that plan. We don't have that strategy. We don't already have the beginning, middle, and the end so that we know where we're going and can 100% say, yeah, if I do this, I know I'm going to make this. And I think that that's where a lot of people prefer or choose to stay small, because at least then you still have the control and you can say where you're going and where you're going to end up.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a fine line. I think Alex Hormozi said it really well, where he said, it's time to read and study when you don't know what your next steps are. But when you know what your steps are, then it's time to implement. So we read books, you know, and if you're like, I have no idea what I should do next, then like seek help, find mentorship, find the guidelines. But like, people will get to a point where they know, I know what my things are that I need to do. And then they still don't take the action, which is the thing that actually gets them to where they want to be. So with you, Kat, with real estate, we were talking a little bit about that before we hit record. You know, you started with real estate and then you were like branching out and kind of moving into your coaching business and this kind of stuff. With real estate, it's still very much like an entrepreneurial style of work. You're not showing up, clocking in, and just being paid by the hour. You're paid for commissions for selling houses and stuff. And that just requires a different type of person. You know, when I first started my online business, and just, I was at home and I'm sitting at my desk, like, what do I do? You know, like, I was just like, I have like all these things, but like, I didn't know how to strategize and how to plan. And that's a really big important piece to growing your business, especially in the early years, because we're just programmed to like show up, clock in. It's kind of mundane, or sit in the bathroom on your phone or whatever. You can't do that with entrepreneurship. You have to be ambitious and move forward yourself and create your own opportunities. So I'm curious, what skills do you think are most important for someone to focus on when they're starting out as an entrepreneur, starting a business?
Ooh, that's a really good question. There's so many directions I can go with that. I would say that one of the most important things when you're stepping into the world of entrepreneurship is, one, trusting yourself and knowing that you may not always understand why something comes to you, But if it feels right, take the leap versus what we are taught in corporate, which is to think logically all the time, completely laid out. You don't always have that option. And so that's a huge piece when you step into this. And you have to have a why. You have to have a really big why that lights you up, that really gets you going, that makes you feel good, that you are determined to get to. Because while discipline is great and motivation is great, motivation isn't always there. And sometimes the discipline is hard to come across. But if you can attach yourself to that why, like for me, it was my kids. I wanted my kids to see that mom could do something different, and that the abuse that I went through and that they saw was not who we were. It was just a chapter. And so that has always been my push for the days when it's hard. That has always been my push for when I don't feel like doing crap. That has been my push. That is what I go back to, because otherwise you get caught up in everybody else's goals. You get caught up in everybody else's why, and that's never going to get you where you want to go. So understanding that and having a clear understanding of where you choose to go has to be your starting point.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, this is, goes back to that intuition piece that we were talking about. Kat, can you tell me about a time when you really had to make a decision for yourself rather than what everybody else was telling you to do?
Oh, yes. Actually, recently. So when I first started my business outside of real estate, my thought process was, okay, I'll coach real estate agents. That's the direction we're going to go, right? It's right in front of me. It's easy. Logic says this is the direction we should go. About a year into doing that, I started elaborating outside of real estate. And I started meeting all these other entrepreneurs. And I was like, oh my gosh, I could help these people. Oh my gosh, I love these people. And I fell in love with the entrepreneurship journey as a whole. And it just naturally progressed that those were the kinds of people that I kept connecting with. And so I instinctively knew, like, this is the next step. This is the next direction. Yet for probably 6 to 8 months, I kept shoving myself back to, I'm just going to do real estate. That's the niche that I chose. That's the direction that I said I was going to go. That's where logic said, we've already built this, go this direction. And there was this other part of me going, but you don't want to do it. You want to help people on this scale. You want to incorporate mindset. You want to incorporate all of these pieces in people's business, not just the strategy. And so I fought with myself for quite a while before I really decided, you know what? Forget what everybody else says, because everybody else is going to say, you should just niche down. Well, maybe you should just do it a little different, and then maybe it'll make sense to you. I knew that I wanted to change, but it's so hard to explain that to people, especially when you're brand new in your entrepreneurial journey, right? You get that, oh my gosh, I've only been doing this for like 2 years. Why would I change? Everybody's going to ask me why I completely switched. I haven't been in it for 10 years and made a switch. And so I really had to work on that and trust that I knew the direction that I wanted to go. And I knew where my heart lied, which was to help other people build. And I get so much enjoyment out of people saying, oh my gosh, that made such a difference. Or, oh my gosh, that made so much sense. I've been trying to figure that out. And so I really had to learn to lean into that piece and just go with it and trust that it was going to work itself out versus continuing to listen to what everyone else was saying, which is, well, you should just stay here, but you're already doing it. You're already building a business.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And you know, what popped into my brain is that I think you and I have probably experienced it. We were talking before we hit record. We have a great conversation. I was like, we need to hit record. But there's times where we feel like we are the square peg being shoved into the circle hole. And that's really common with coaching clients and working with clients, whether you are the client or if you're the coach and you're the person who's mentoring, sharing your knowledge with someone. And I think that it's important to say that, because I feel like most people have experienced that themselves. And we are, you know, coaches, we love investing in ourselves. And we're like, yeah, I've definitely had a coach like that. But we rarely think about, have I been that coach towards other people? And it can happen, and we don't even think about it, where we are unconsciously shoving them into a circle hole when they're the square box. And I've had clients get upset about that. I've had to learn the hard way. It's just brutal honesty. And it's helped me become a better coach. So I think that whoever, if you listen to this and you are a coach or a mentor and you're teaching people stuff, it's great if you have an awesome strategy, and it's important to stick to that strategy because it's worked for you and you've seen it work for other people. But there are times where it's important to give the person a little bit of leeway. If you notice that like they're doing the things, but it's not really working, it's like, what do you feel like you should do? And kind of put it in their lap. And they're like, I kind of feel like I want to do this. Like I always promote YouTube, for example. And I love YouTube. I think it's amazing. It's like having an employee that's always working for you. It's like getting discovered. It's building trust. And then it's inviting people to your email list. It's happening passively. And that's like, that's what's worked for me. And some people I work with, they're like, but I really crush it on TikTok. And I'm like, then focus on TikTok. They're like, I like TikTok. And that excites them. But with YouTube, it feels more of a drag. So it's like, it's okay. You can get similar results. It's not the same platform. It's definitely different. But if that's what's fun for you and feels in alignment with you, then go do that. So I think it's really important to think about, you know, if you pick a coach or a mentor and you're having conversations with them, to think, are they the kind of person that gives me that kind of leeway and kind of keeps me in the bumpers of like certain things are kind of strategic, like capturing an email address, for example, with me. But also think about it, you know, hold yourself accountable. Like, am I putting people into a box? And I think that that's an important perception.
Yeah, 100%. And I always talk about this in, you know, there's a mastermind that I'm a part of. And we always say, take what aligns with you and leave what does not. Because it's so easy for us to get caught up in an amazing coach or mentor who's teaching us, but they're teaching us their way. And for a lot of us, we're coming out of corporate. So we're like, oh, okay, this is the way you do it. And it's like, no, that's the whole journey of being an entrepreneur. You get to choose that way, right? So you do have to know what feels good for you and know what you align with, that you're like, oh, I do want to try that, and go with it. And then if there's something else that someone says, you're like, I don't know about that, then fine, it's not for you. And that's okay. And that's the beauty of this journey, is that we get to take what resonates with us and we get to leave the rest of it with no holdback or against anyone else. But you get to build it the way that you want to. And honestly, when you start leaning into that, you want to build it. You want to take those extra steps. You want to take those risks. You want to take yourself in this direction and say, you know what, I think I can do that, because you feel good about the decision that you're making. You're not just leaning on somebody else, hoping that they'll give you the answer so that it makes it easier for you. And you can say, oh, okay, cool, we'll just do this.
Yeah. That's, I think it's such great advice. It's important to have that kind of discernment. I'd love to hear from you. I really liked your example earlier of your personal story, but what advice would you give to someone who is, you know, going through something similar? Maybe they're kind of at like a crossroads, like people are telling me this, but I'm kind of feeling this, or just tapping into that intuition and alignment more. What kind of advice would you share from your experience?
Yeah, definitely. I would say start small and then open yourself up to being aware of the little hints and the little nudges that you get. So I'll give you an example. If you are wanting to be in the coaching space and you're like, you know what, I kind of actually really enjoy it. This makes me feel good. I could do this for hours and it doesn't feel like work, but I'm not sure that I just want to jump into it because I still have this job that provides me good money. Okay. What can you do in between to lean in to see if this is something you want to do? Can you start having networking calls and just chatting with people to see if you enjoy being in this space? Could you potentially work with a couple of people and say, hey, I'm just testing this out. I'd love for you to be, you know, part of this beta so that I can really see and hone in on my skills. And then use that to your advantage, because it's either going to do one of two things. One, it's going to fill you up and excite you, and you're going to want to lean into it more, which is going to give you a direction, or you're going to do it and you're going to be like, you know what? I don't mind doing it every once in a while, but I don't know that I want to do this every hour of every day. And then that helps you pivot with the next step that you want to take. And I would say too that you don't have to do it like everybody else is doing it. A lot of people say, oh, I went into $100,000 of debt and I built my business. If that scares the ever living crap out of you, or you have kids like I do, and you have to provide, then don't do it that way. Do your day job, build your business a little bit on the side as it excites you, and grow it from there. You can always transition over. There is nothing out there that says, oh, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, by the way, quit your job. Going on a hope and prayer. Yes. Hope that you got some money saved,
some
right?
And mindset, like, you got to go all in or nothing. It doesn't always work for people. Yeah, I totally get it.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I actually did that when I started my entrepreneurial business, and I realized that I had to get a job really quick because I wasn't making enough money to support myself really. And I had like some support, but I was like, and funds were just dwindling, and I didn't save a whole lot when I first started. I was just like, I'm going for it. Just super ambitious. I was like 22 when I started too. And I was like, I'm just going to go for it. Grateful I did, you know, cause it just like made me figure it out. But yeah, I was so stressed that I didn't see consistent money coming in that I couldn't, even when I was on calls with people to book phone calls or speak on a stage and stuff, like my energy just wasn't there to where it was something magnetic. But when I did pick up a job, you know, and I was making just a little bit of cushion cash just to kind of pay for like gas to get to speaking events or meetings or whatever, networking events, and like pay for food and stuff like that, then I felt more at ease, and that helped me close more deals because I wasn't stressing about money. Because it's the high intention, low attachment. I love that saying. So we have a high intention of, you know, I want to make business, I want to help this person and that kind of stuff. And that's really important, because if you don't make money, then you don't have a business. But it's when we have this really high attachment that we come off as needy, and needy is creepy. And then people push away because the energy isn't there. And if I've learned anything about sales and having different coaches, I have a current mentor who's freaking awesome at sales, but that's what he teaches us all the time. And he's like, you could have two sales professionals who are reading like the perfect sales script, they're saying the exact right things, but one of them doesn't have the energy backing it, or a good energy that resonates with the person, and the other person does. The other salesperson does. That other person is going to crush it with sales because they understand energetics. And it's really important with this whole thing we're talking about. I think people overlook it. They're like, give me the marketing strategies. Like, what's the thing? What's the Instagram strategy? And it's like, that stuff isn't going to work unless you are really in alignment with the thing you teach. And that's like what you're sharing here, Kat. I've noticed in my own business too, when I'm really in alignment with something, like when I first really got in alignment with like Profit Your Knowledge, just things started happening. And I was like, this is awesome. You know, it feels good for me. And people can feel that when they're on calls with you or like watching your content, et cetera. So I think it's really important.
Yeah, I love that you brought this up, because I have told so many people that I have worked with that if you are operating from a space of survival mode, you are not going to build your business, because that is the energy that you are putting out there. I don't care if it's just you're having a conversation on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram that you're just sharing, no one is going to resonate with that because of the energy that is behind it. So if survival mode is what you are in, you're like, oh my gosh, I've got to make money, then calm that mode down by covering yourself and then come back to your business.
Yeah. And some people thrive in it too. I mean, like you said, I'm in $100,000 of debt and I got to figure this out, and they do it. And there's like people who, it's like, I've heard stories of people who bought like this crazy dream house of theirs, and they were in like a bunch of debt or something, or somehow they got this thing and they had this huge payment and they ended up making it work by, you know, growing their business. And it's just, some people thrive in that. Like Gary Vee, I feel like he really thrives in that kind of situation where like, I got to hustle and figure it out. But a lot of people aren't that way. You know, I'm not that way. I'm much more like, I'll have a cushion on the side, and that gives me the creative freedom. Because if I'm too attached to an outcome, then I start being weird when I'm not weird, you know, but like I'll start acting weird and being like, I need to close this deal. And I think everybody in this space has felt that at some point, even the real estate too. Like, I have to close this. I have friends in real estate and they've dealt with that too and shared that same story. Yep. So it pushes people away. So it's like, cover your bases and make sure you have a good level head. And I love the advice that I feel like a lot of people don't really mention. They're like, when you think of an entrepreneur, it's like, you got to go all in and it's this whole thing. It's like, you could build it on the side. And the next thing you know, it's paying your mortgage every month. And the next thing you know, it's replacing your old income. It's doubled your income. You know, it's just wild, like the possibilities that are out there. Kat, based on your career as an entrepreneur, what's something you wish someone would have told you early on?
Oh my goodness. that if you decide to step into the entrepreneurial space, it will be one of the most difficult and one of the most rewarding things to not only you financially, but to your well-being, to your mindset. And if you step into that discomfort to grow and heal past traumas, it will ripple out across your life. And that is something nobody else can ever give to you.
I love it. I think Ed Mylett said that entrepreneurship is the best personal development program. And I believe he's right on that one.
Yeah, definitely.
You put yourself through the ringer when you go all in. So it's wild. It's so many ups and downs. But yeah, it goes back to what you said earlier too about the why. You gotta have a reason for what you're doing. If that's big enough to get you up and get you to do the work, that's awesome. You know, you can do all the cold showers and things like that you want, all the journaling and stuff. But I think a great question too is, what am I doing that's getting me closer to the thing I say I want? Because a lot of people don't. I didn't do that with I thought I was being productive. I was journaling. I was taking cold showers. Literally, I was doing that. And I hear this from people on different calls and stuff when I'm in like a group call and they're like, yeah, like I'm doing my cold shower and like doing my biohacking and stuff. And it's like, that's great. You know, how many conversations have you had with the people you can help? And they're like, well, you know, like not a lot. And it's like, that's what actually grows your business. And I realized that I was like, I have to have more conversations with people and, you know, engage with people that I can help. And then that's where more business came. But I wasn't doing that, but I was being busy. You know, it wasn't actually doing the right kind of work. So that's awesome advice. I really appreciate it, Kat. Great getting to know you. We're going to come in here for a landing, but where can people learn more about you and get connected?
Yeah, definitely. And again, thank you, James, so much for the opportunity. I would say if anybody is looking to connect, I am on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram at The Lotus Effect Coach. So that's the easiest way to find me. And then you can also visit my website, which is the-lotus-effect.com. So those are the two main hubs, but I'm generally on LinkedIn and Facebook the absolute most. So you can always find me in those two areas.
Cool. We'll put some links down in the description. For the listener, I know we talked a lot about a lot of different things, but the crux of the conversation is about alignment and just being in alignment. I think if you took anything away from this, regardless of what stage you're at and what kind of you're focusing on, is just tuning into that awareness piece of how you're feeling about something. If a coach is telling you to do something and you're doing it, you know, I had a coach that had me cold DMing 100 people a day and it felt so wrong. And I was young. If it was me now, I'd be like, I'm not doing that. You know, there's no way. And, they were like, oh, I just got to keep doing this. People doing like 15 grand a month doing this. And I was like, okay, you know, whole story, made a video on my YouTube channel about how I messed up. And, it was me being the square peg being shoved into the circle hole. And I knew that there was a better way to do it. And when I started doing the things that I felt would be right, more success came to me. So I think it's important to learn from people. And there's a lot of things I took from that engagement that really helped me with my business, you know, and streamlining things and project management and stuff. But there's a lot of, like, you learn a lot from the bad investments, just like you do from probably more than the good ones. The bottom line is that you get out there, you start doing something. Implementation is your only superpower. So take what you learned here, get out there, make something happen. We will see you in the next one.